From Indian Mounds Wilderness to Davis Mountains State Park and South Padre Island to the Golden Spread. When Texans learn what's happening, it's From Pratt on Texas. Get ready. Here comes Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, energy prices and bad government policy. Both federal and, yes, Texas energy policies are hitting you in the pocket. For most people, the hit is harder than most any direct taxes they pay. We're going to take a look at it today. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services. And you truckers, get with them about being your third-party administrator for all your testing you do with DOT. AlliedCompliance.com. Also, a very lengthy story everyone's republishing today. The Texas Tribune got to interview with the chief of the Uvalde School Police Department, and it's a big, big story on the school massacre. It demonstrates something, and I recommend you all read it over the weekend. It's way long to handle on the show, but I want you to think about it instead. First of all, don't get caught up in individuals. You cannot get caught up in emotion for one person or another. You just can't. That's not rational, and you won't make good decisions that way. But more importantly, step back and notice how spending taxpayer dollars, expensive things like school police departments, simply doesn't mean you're going to get what you think you're going to get. In other words, what you think you're paying for. And I think that story sadly makes that pretty clear. Also, Republican convention delegates, you'll be heading to Houston next week. In the last segment of the show, we hear from Senate District 28 committee woman candidate. That's the each Senate district has a man and woman on the State Republican Executive Committee, the SREC. We'll hear from candidate Joni Matthews. Listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. Senator, the Dean of the Senate, Democrat Senator John Whitmire of Houston, who for years has been chairman of the committee that oversees prisons and that kind of stuff. KXXV launched a story there in Central Texas near where all this happened, that the killer, the murderer who was in the prison bus that escaped and then killed people, and then, of course, they took care of him, Gonzalo Lopez, that he had, Senator Whitmire says that that he had planned this ahead of time. He's a member of one of these big prison gangs or something, and that 16 inmates on the bus started making a disturbance, singing and jumping up and down, all distracting the guard. And apparently Whitmire says that this Lopez guy told other inmates he was going to escape and this is your opportunity. While the officers were distracted, the driver had to keep watching the road. Lopez was releasing his restraints, and then he was breaking out of the little cage he was in. They asked the senator if the same key was used for the killer's restraints and the metal cage aboard the bus, and he said, "I understand it is the same key for both." And so anyway, they originally said he had used a makeshift knife to cut through, but Senator Whitmire saying he had used a key. Lawyers filed a petition to remove the Midland County District Attorney. I really agree with this, especially after when the trial of our old friend David Wilson got to court, it turned out that it was absolute BS. That's right, KOSA reporting that attorneys Allison Clayton and Frank Sellers have filed a petition to remove Midland DA Laura Nodolf from her position on behalf of David Wilson. In a statement released after filing the petition, the attorney said they can prove D.A. Nodolf violated fundamental constitutional rights, basic legal principles, and multiple ethical mandates by searching David Wilson's home without a warrant, lying to a grand jury to secure David Wilson's indictment, that's right, lying to the grand jury, and abusing the grand jury process in her quest to get a win. Their statement goes on to say our actions have directly affected those in the court system and indirectly affected all Midlanders by potentially subjecting Midland County to untold civil liability. Accordingly, and with a heavy heart, we have filed a petition for the immediate suspension and the ultimate removal of Laura Nodolph as Midland County District Attorney. It's based on our discovery of independent facts demonstrating incompetency and official misconduct. They also included words from David Wilson. For evil to flourish, it only requires good men to do nothing, said Simon Wiesenthal. This is about being a responsible citizen, knowing what I know, and after being subjected to these abuses of power, I feel it would be irresponsible if I did not take action. It's time for our district, it's time our DA's held accountable. If you'll recall, David Wilson, a good young man, grew up in Snyder, very successful in the oil and gas business now. I mean, very, very successful. He was found not guilty in the death of Midland police officer Nathan Heidelberg. The entire indictment was a joke, and we talked about that. I mean, this man that called the cops, they thought they had an intruder in the house, and this thing was awful. And we watched about this. We covered this, and then when it came to trial, this thing just fell apart, and these are allegations. But if indeed the district attorney lied to the grand jury, remember, there's never grand jury's all one-sided. You don't get to challenge anything. If she lied to the grand jury in any way, she ought to be removed as district attorney. And this search in his house without a warrant and abusing the grand jury process, I think it appeared that way all along. Well, I'll get this big, rich young man. I'll get him, you know. That's not justice, and I hope that if any of those allegations are true, that they're successful in removing her as district attorney in Midland. University of Houston going to join the Big 12 in 2023, so now everything's shaken out, my friends. The Chronicle produced the story that U of H will start playing in 2023 in the Big 12 after they've come to agreement with the AAC, the American Athletic Conference, on exit fees. So Houston Cougars, Cincinnati, and Central Florida are leaving that conference and joining the Big 12 along with Brigham Young, which is independent, and they had already announced they were going to join in 2023. That could leave the Big 12 with 14 teams for a couple of years because Texas and Oklahoma aren't supposed to leave until 2025, which is when the big media deal plays out, the league's media deal with ESPN and Fox. Payouts, they think, will be as high as $50 million to schools in 2025, but right now, just to give you an idea, Houston, their fees to get out of this other conference, they think will be taken care of even in 1 or 2 years, even with partial payments in the Big 12, because the payout in this small conference, AAC, is only $8.5 million a year. Big 12 paid teams $42.6 million last year. So once again, you're learning. Again, everything in college sports is just about the money. I mean, that's why we keep being subjected to the destruction of great traditions and everything else. It's all about everybody trying to get more money. First Amendment dispute in the Llano County lawsuit challenging removal of inappropriate books. Several stories on this out, and I told you about this, how they took out these pornographic type books out of the library, and a bunch of liberals sued. They have countered and asked the federal judge to dismiss the lawsuit, and they're right, because people wrongly don't understand what they're saying. The liberals, everybody said, well, they're censoring speech. No, they're not. First Amendment allows government officials the discretion to decide what government will say. And what the liberals are doing is trying to compel others, taxpayers and others, and government elected representatives to engage in specific speech. Well, Robert, it's a public library. It doesn't matter. The library has you have no right to compel it to speak and to say things in any particular way. I mean, you can just get rid of a public library if you don't want one. First Amendment doesn't require the government to maintain public forums or public libraries, and it certainly doesn't require the government to engage in specific speech. And you hear all these lefties going on about it. Well, they're censoring by taking... No, that's not government censorship, because they're not stopping the printing and distribution of the book or stopping you from getting it. They're just not including it in their forum, their collection. Back in a moment.
He gets so much in during the show, you can handle a short break. Pratt's back in a moment.
Do you think going to the dentist for a lot of work can be fun? How about if it cost you much less and, as part of the deal, you got a wonderful vacation in one of the world's most desired locations?
Costa Rica is world-renowned for dentistry and its dental laboratories, and our dentist, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga of DentoCare, provides the kind of expert, personalized service you would think only the super wealthy would get. I'm not kidding about that. Costa Rica is also one of the most desirable countries to visit in summer or winter, and you'll even be near Texas Tech's new campus when with Dr. Zuniga. Many Pride on Texas listeners have made the trip a few more than once and have said it was one of the best decisions they've made. Learn more about our dentist and friend, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and DentoCare, by clicking the banner at prideontexas.com. Go to prideontexas.com and click on the DentoCare banner. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, it's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Mike and Jason find and rehab good condition, good reputation work trucks that can help you and your business. Half ton all the way up to 2 ton work trucks. Mike and Jason are hands-on, finding trucks and working on them in the shop. Call them at 806-687-1115 or go to specialtytrucksoflubbock.com to get Mike or Jason's cell number. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks, specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Native Texan, or just got here as soon as you could. Welcome to Pratt on Texas. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. By the way, big news brewing in Dallas. Dallas City Council's going to have an executive committee, executive session Wednesday, which isn't when they usually do this for this purpose, to talk about firing city manager T.C. Broadnax there. And they say that Dallas Morning News says he's under fire. Response to criticism of the city's beleaguered construction permitting process. Oh, that's not all. I've been following this guy for a long time. Basic city services aren't getting done, but like all of this modern local government, they found time to come up with all kinds of things like citywide plans that never existed before on topics like housing, transportation, economic development. But then audits and reviews of city departments routinely uncovered no specific plan to do pressing things like road repairs, data security, affordable housing. Remember, the cops had the IT department, somebody there deleted massive amounts of police files from the backups, and that left, you know, you can't do prosecutions and all that. Anyway, Mayor Johnson, Eric Johnson, says that he believes Broadnax should be fired. So that's a big story out of Big D. Should have happened a long time ago. All right, my friends. By the way, Eric Johnson, Democrat, but he's been better than the last few over there. He actually seems to take charge of things and have a lot more sense than some of the other folks that have been in that mayor's seat in Big D. All right, my friends, let's get to the Baker Hughes rotary rig count and through it our Lone Star story of the day. The rotary rig count's out today from Baker Hughes. Texas lost one drilling rig, so that's 2 weeks in a row. We went down. We're at 356. A year ago, we were at 259. The U.S. actually gained 6 net rigs, with 5 of those being in New Mexico. So my guess is that a lot of new rigs popped up in the Permian part of New Mexico would be my guess. Now, I said as the Lone Star Story of the Day, sponsored by our great friends at Allied Compliance Services, AlliedCompliance.com. They'll run a set up and make sure it's all compliant drug and alcohol testing program for your business or institution. It's affordable even for very, very, very small businesses. And sometimes your insurance will pay you. I mean, you'll get a bigger discount than you for having it. If you got people driving company vehicles or working with heavy equipment warehouses and stuff, it can save you more than it costs to do. And you truckers, they deal with your DOT stuff, AlliedCompliance.com. I said, here's our Lone Star story of the day. Energy prices and bad government policy from both the feds and, yes, even Texas. Bad energy policies are hitting you in the pocketbook. And for most, the hit is harder than most any direct taxes you pay. So let's just start with some of the energy news. You say, well, Robert, the prices are at all-time high. Why don't we continue to see big gains in the rig count? One, I told you that during the last boom, massive numbers of these new laterally drilled wells, these horizontally drilled fracking jobs were left uncompleted. The completion stuff is going on tremendously. But there is a big problem. We've talked about it before, and that is the left's war on energy and the specific decision by some of the largest investment funds in the world and stuff to shun fossil fuels. I mean, they're doing this to you on purpose so that you finally surrender and think that paying, you know, five times for a car is worth it because they're artificially raising the price of energy so that you'll relent and go with their silly leftist energy programs. Because remember, there's nothing in these greeny policies that actually is more efficient or costs less. Every bit of it costs more. And you had a big explosion Wednesday. I had this in my stack and didn't get to it. The Freeport facility has pushed world natural gas prices up. Now, it's lowered natural gas prices here this week, but they had a big explosion. Nobody was killed, apparently not hurt, but the big LNG, liquefied natural gas facility in Freeport is out of commission for a while now. It processes one-fifth, so 20% of America's liquefied natural gas, and most of that out there has been transported to Europe on cargo ships. So they announced this facility is rather new. I remember talking about the building of it on this program, or maybe the twin that's out there that I talked about years ago. Gas prices, yeah, it was this plant. Gas prices in Europe jumped after the news, and because they're in dire straits, and it's their own greeny-weeny policies that put them there. Natural gas prices, futures markets in the U.S. drop, and that could make our electric cost a little lower. It's going to take weeks of repair. The reason it drops here is obviously that the gas is stranded here on the North American continent and not able to be LNG'd to be liquefied and shipped to Europe. Now, on this issue, and I want to talk about the electric grid, and we'll do that coming up, but our friend Merrill Matthews, along with Wayne Stoltenberg, had a piece in the Wall Street Journal this week, why energy companies won't produce, and this is so darned important for everybody to understand when you go vote. President Biden's urged oil and natural gas companies to ramp up production, and you'd think, given the high prices, that it would be in their interest so to do, but the industry's been slow to respond with some justification. Companies expect that as soon as the current turmoil subsides, the Biden administration will shift back to hostile rhetoric, anti-energy legislative proposals, and oppositional regulatory policies. Oil and gas prices in the New York Mercantile are at five-year highs, but many publicly traded producers are pursuing a strategy that looks like orderly liquidation, only maintaining or modestly increasing production volumes. Meanwhile, they're returning significant cash to shareholders and dividends and share repurchases. Devon Energy recently issued guidance for this year that refers to capital spending in the range of $1.9 to $2.2 billion on new well drilling and completing activity, and a production target of between 570 and 600,000 barrels of oil equivalent a day. That's a modest increase in capital spending from $1.85 billion last year and a modest decrease in production. Devon anticipates increased cash returns to shareholders, though. Like many in the industry, Devon obviously believes it's better to return capital to its shareholders than to reinvest in the business. The reason is the left's incessant demonizing of the fossil fuel industry, leading to near pariah status, which has succeeded in driving capital away from the industry. Small and mid-sized producers rely more on outside capital than larger companies such as Exxon to increase their production. Last September, 20 House Democrats introduced the Fossil Free Finance Act, which would require the Federal Reserve Bank to take steps to stop banks from investing in fossil fuel production. The bill's goal was no financing of new or expanded fossil fuel projects after 2022. That's a quote from it. That's from the Naderite, you know, group Public Citizen. Then there's the harping about excessive profits, which led Senator Elizabeth Warren to propose a new tax. Quote, the oil companies need to understand that the benefits of price gouging will be... They don't gouge. It's all on the open market, moron. Price gouging will be sharply undercut by a tax that's not across the board, but instead is a tax on how their profits increased during the short-term crisis. Folks, that's nothing more than the Jimmy Carter windfall profits tax. It did the same thing to us. Anyway, their column says, there was a time when most people understood that if you want less of something, tax it. If you want more, subsidize it. Even though Democrats' more radical legislation is unlikely to pass, the message to participants in the highly regulated financial markets is clear. We want to see less, not more capital flowing to domestic oil and gas production. Unsurprisingly, many larger institutional investors have heard the message and are touting their support for clean energy and open opposition to fossil fuel business. Oil and gas producers are subject to many of the same supply chain roadblocks and price increases that hinder other industries. If they can't find willing long-term capital providers, it's difficult for them to ramp up production. And they can't find that funding primarily because they've been the target of a multi-year mission to defund and destroy the industry. If investors and producers are acting as though they don't hear the current administration's demands for more drilling now, it's in large part because they heard their condemnations for drilling in the past. Folks, this is inarguably true, that this is what's happening. And remember, that's why the state of Texas is making this list now and calling out these financial services companies and removing our investments from them. Because they are openly saying that they won't buy stock. In other words, they won't invest, they won't lend or anything to people producing fossil fuel. Meanwhile, you're going to starve to death. And these liberals don't care. Back in a moment.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Communication's a top priority with commercial builder Tommy Klein Construction. A 20-year-plus Tommy Klein Construction customer said, when we call, text, or email, the majority of the time we get a response back within the hour. Many times they call us before we have a question with updates on our projects. And with Tommy Klein Construction, if there's a need for an adjustment or warranty, they give it top priority as if it were their own building. Tommy Klein Construction, general commercial building contractors. Reach them, 806-438-3384, 806-438-3384.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Standing in spirit with those who won Texas Liberty and working to stop the hordes on the left, it's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We continue with our Lone Star story of the day, how prices and bad government energy prices, a lot of which are created by bad government policy, not just federal, but Texas too, are just hitting you in the pocketbook harder than most direct taxes do. And by the way, worried about the economy, do you know they have a huge trucker strike started this week in Korea? Oh, yes, and it's bad. It's bad for Kia Hyundai. Kia's got employees driving cars over to warehouses right now. And two ports this week had nothing go out. One of the major ports, one of the busiest in the world, seventh busiest, was down 64% yesterday in shipping. The truckers are all striking. It's a domestic issue, but it's going to affect the world economy, the biggest shipper of memory chips and things out of there. So continue to see problems. Brent Bennett, PhD, Dr. Bennett at the Texas Public Policy Foundation's gotten onto the grid, and everybody's worried about today and the next few days. And I have to change this because he wrote this yesterday and posted it yesterday evening and keeps saying tomorrow. He's talking about today. I got to catch that. Texas grid should pass its test this week, but the problems are not fixed. And this is where Texas has had awful policy. And by the way, Governor Perry and then particularly Governor Abbott have been publicly cheering on all this wind power and solar power. Well, they're partly responsible for putting us in this terrible situation. We got, they say, record heat in June, which we often get. We're far enough south. June is often a very, very hot month for us as the sun's going overhead and heading north as the earth tilts, basically. Anyway, people will have reason to wonder. He says, while the Texas grid should pass its test this week and the rest of this summer, the long-term picture will continue to deteriorate until the Public Utility Commission requires wind and solar generators to pay for the reliability costs they're imposing on the grid. That's right. These so-called renewables, and aren't renewable, these so-called green energy things are placing a reliability cost on us. First factor in play, rights, is growing demand. Yes, Texas has grown a lot. This is another thing I heard people talking about. Oh, they're talking about the grid being, what's the problem? Well, you also have to remember, we've grown a lot. There's just a hell of a lot more usage. Just in the last few years, we've grown a lot. While the ERCOT has been consistently over forecasting peak demand this year, it's safe to say that August 2019 record of 74,820 megawatts will be broken today as temperatures top 100 degrees throughout the state. Second factor is wind generation that does not line up with demand. At the same time demand peaks today, wind generation is forecast to drop to 6,000 megawatts, which is less than 20% of its installed capacity and much less than the 9,363 megawatts ERCOT expects from wind during peak summer periods. More than a third less. Thankfully, our natural gas, coal, and nuclear fleets will be operating well above 90% of their installed capacity because most power plant operators were able to complete their annual maintenance on time. And the 11,000 megawatts of solar generation built over the past few years, while not useful during winter storms or at night, will be helpful during the peak afternoon hours both this week and throughout the summer. Demand could soar even higher on Monday, but Friday, today will be much stiffer test for the grid. Why? Because the wind is expected to blow a lot on Monday, producing more than 70% of its installed capacity. See, you get this thing about wind. I mean, it goes from 0 to 60, 70%. It's not reliable. You can't turn it on and off when you need it. He writes, this situation's a repeat of what happened a few weeks ago when wind generation dropped from over 20,000 megawatts to less than 5,000 megawatts. It's a 75% fall off. Leading ERCOT cautiously called for conservation. The mainstream media was fixated on 2,900 megawatts of gas power plants that suddenly went offline while ignoring the five times larger drop in wind generation. And that is exactly right. They ignored that on purpose because they're all part of the propaganda machine on this damn energy, so-called renewables that aren't renewable. All energy's constant. It just changes state. Anyway. And he's right, that was important. They just ignored that. What was also not reported was that ERCOT put out the conservation appeal on the day of the lowest demand that entire week. The drop in wind output, not high demand or a few power plants that unexpectedly failed, was by far the largest driving factor in the stress of the grid that week. Did you know that? When the Chronicle and everybody were putting these scare stories out, that was actually the lowest day of demand when they put the conservation alert out. The demand wasn't even the problem that day. It was the fact that the wind wasn't blowing. These events highlight the fundamental problem facing ERCOT grid and electric grids across the country. That's right, all of them. When we are replacing gas and coal generators, and this is all due to left-wing policy, folks, which can consistently operate with greater than 90% availability during peak demand periods, with a resource like wind, which can vary from less than 10% to more than 80% availability, it is no wonder our grid is becoming more fragile. We can predict wind output fairly well a week in advance, but we don't know how much electricity wind will produce on the hottest days in a month or two from now or during the coldest days next winter. The variance in wind and solar outputs also leading to more and more variance in prices. Wholesale electricity prices, which may reach their 5,000 per megawatt maximum today, this afternoon, were negative for several hours Sunday night because high wind output outpacing demand. They might be negative again next week when the wind picks back up. Given these massive and unpredictable swings in prices, it's no wonder that Texas, which sits on an ocean of natural gas, is not building gas-fired power plants to stabilize its grid. Power plant developers cannot predict their revenue from year to year, much less 20 years into the future, and ensure they can get a return on their investment.
In contrast, wind and solar generators are being built because they benefit from massive federal subsidies and often have guaranteed offtake contracts with large commercial and industrial users and municipal power utilities, all of whom want to claim they're 100% powered by renewable energy. Of course, those claims omit the fact that we're all paying for backup power to support the grid when the wind and sun aren't available. And therein lies the problem at the PUC, which, by the way, the governor controls and hadn't done much good with, I don't think. It's not what he wrote. It's what I'm saying. Said they must solve it. Who pays for the extra backup power to support the explosive growth of wind and solar on the Texas grid? Right now, no one's paying for it, and the reliability of the grid's degrading as a result. Now, the PUC's doing a redesign of the market to attempt to make sure we have the backup demand. But all their proposals, and these are Governor Abbott's new people, put it all on your back, ladies and gentlemen, entirely the cost on the back of ratepayers. And he writes, unfortunately, any plan that puts reliability costs solely on ratepayers in Texas will end up chasing wind and solar subsidies with subsidies for reliable backup power, just as California and Germany are doing. We've already seen that this is a failed option. The ERCOT has invested over $60 billion in private capital in new wind and solar generation on top of billions in federal subsidies. It's not hard to imagine our electric system being more affordable and reliable if $30 billion of that $60 billion was invested in more reliable generation and resiliency. The PUC is saying we need more investment, but what we need is smarter investment. Yeah, we need it in the right place. The most cost-effective way to fix this investment problem is to require wind and solar generators to purchase backup power or energy storage and to bring their variability more in line with that of gas and coal generators. This requirement will impose appropriate discipline on the growth of wind and solar by ensuring that new wind and solar generation is not increasing the variability of our supply. Basically, we're paying the massive costs for the fact that they're unreliable. Oh, it never stops. Other bad policy. Biden's calling Congress to crack down on ocean carriers, shipping carriers, saying that's the reason for all the high prices and everything. They're charging too much. The fact is, though, his own administration, the Federal Maritime Commission, did a fact-finding investigation that said surging freight rates are the product of market forces, particularly a combination of unusually strong demand from U.S. consumers, COVID-19, and congestion in the supply chain, not a lack of competition in the marketplace. But what's he going to do? Go after the people that do the shipping. It's insane. Folks, you're being sold a bill of goods in every direction possible. I've got other stories I would like to get into, but I just can't. There's not time. Coming up, I promised this candidate who used our contact feature at prattontexas.com to request time on the show, Republican Party candidate, both Abilene and Lubbock are in this senatorial district, so we're going to have that interview coming up next, my friends.
He's only silent during the breaks. Pratt's back after this.
There is a delicious treasure in Abilene not to be missed. It's Bell's Chicken Dinner House, where homemade, fresh, mouthwatering fried chicken and chicken fried steak, fabulous veggies, served family style with yeast rolls, and unbeatable homemade desserts are created for your dining pleasure. Bell's Chicken Dinner House, an Abilene treasure, is open to serve you lunch and dinner Thursday through Saturday and open Sunday for that perfect traditional after church lunch. Enjoy Bell's Chicken Dinner House Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
The Lubbock Sportsman's Club, a chapter of Dallas Safari Club, is a leading promoter of wildlife conservation, outdoor education, and hunter advocacy in West Texas. If you want to help Lubbock Sportsman's Club achieve its mission to conserve wildlife and wilderness lands, to educate youth and the general public, and to promote and protect the rights and interests of hunters in the West Texas area and worldwide, you're invited to take part by simply coming to the club's meetings. Learn more about the great work done for conservation and hunting at lubbocksportsman.com.
At Thacker Jewelry, we believe in hometown service. When you walk through our doors, we want you to feel welcome and at home. An incredible story lives inside each and every piece of jewelry at Thacker's. As a West Texas jeweler, we want to help you express your love and your feeling for your family, for your loved ones, and for the generations to come.
Hello, what do you say? It's a Thacker Jewelry kind of day.
Warm weather evenings on the patio is a Texas tradition, and no one does it better or more tasty than Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse, and it's next to a lake with waterfall. You'll have access to comfortable surroundings, great service, premium liquors, beer, cordials, award-winning wine list, and great barbats food at Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse all spring, summer, and fall. Meet friends and colleagues and enjoy quality time on the patio by the lake at Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse.
Here's a man who feels sorry for those needing to make their country great again. Texas has always been great. It's Robert Pratt of Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. We have the honor to have with us Joni Matthews. She is a rancher woman, I guess you'd say, from down in Mason County. In Mason County, beautiful Mason, now in the Senate District 28 with Senator Charles Perry. And most of you folks listening, of course, on 96.1 FM in Abilene, a lot of you are in all of Abilene, Taylor County, now in Senate District 28. And, of course, Lubbock area folks know they're in Senator Perry's district. That's how the Republican Party divides up its executive committee membership, is by Senate district. And there's a committee man and a committee woman. Everybody will be down in Houston in another week for the big Republican state convention. And Joni Matthews is running for SD28 committee woman. Reached out to us via the contact page. That's how you do it, candidates at prattontexas.com. Joni, tell us about your reason for running for Senate District 28 and what's spurred you to do this, to be on the state executive committee for the Texas GOP.
Robert, there are four reasons. Their names are Wesley, Tyler, Travis, and Lorelei. Those are my grandbabies. And I don't need to tell you or anybody else that's listening that we're in trouble. We're in deep trouble. I lay awake at night and I wonder what kind of world I'm leaving for my baby. I've been interested and I've been involved in politics for forever. I was president of the Mason County Republican Women, vice president in some of my creds. I worked with Rhonda Lacey in the 2020 Mighty Texas Strike Force that helped keep Texas red. I worked in the Houston area. But anyway, I've been involved. And when this opportunity arose, I was asked to run. I thought about it, prayed about it, and decided that it was time for me to step up and do something.
There has been there's always a little natural conflict between office holders and the party. That's not new. I've been involved in the party since back when we were a minority party in the state and helped build it. I've been a county chairman. I've been around this my entire life. I know the people in it for generations now. But I think we've got an interesting situation going on right now. You've got some folks who just think that it's wrong for the party apparatus to actually stand up for the party platform its members adopted. They love to have the R by their name in November, and they claim to be Republican. And I'm not saying they have to agree with everything, but they seem rather, in the legislature and executive at times, hostile to the idea that even items we've had a plebiscite on, in other words, all Republican voters in the state have voted on in these referenda, they don't think that that ought to be a high priority. What does the state executive committee do about that in dealing with elected officials who seem rather recalcitrant when it comes to moving the agenda of the party's nomination they sought?
You know what, Robert, that's a good question. And I don't have an answer to that since I've never been on this committee. I know we can recommend, and I know we have clout as far as campaign funds. So maybe that's the answer there. You know, if you don't want to play, then, you know, you don't pay. I don't really have an answer to that. I know we're not all going to agree, Robert. We're not going to agree on everything. And you know what? And I've been married for 45 years. I do not agree with this man that's been driving me around this district. He deems it his driving Miss Crazy Tour. I do not agree with him. He doesn't agree with me. But that doesn't mean we have to be disagreeable. Ronald Reagan, I love what he said. He said the person that agrees with you 80% of the time is your friend and ally, not 20% traitor. That's what we've got to wrap our heads around that, Robert. We got to quit shooting inside the tent. The Democrats, I mean, they're doing a good job tearing themselves apart. But we've got to stay together because we are together on the basic concepts of freedom and school choice and abortion, You know,
that's a good one to mention, because we've got quite a few Republican legislators who are anti-school choice. And in the runoffs, the governor went and endorsed several of those people. Even the lefty media picked up on that. And those are fundamental issues that it seems certainly they have a right to have their position. But it's a little bit disingenuous for them to use our brand to get elected in the November election when they oppose the party on its basic issues of freedom.
Well, the idea of school's choice is a great one, but then you have to get into the minutiae of how it happens. Do these schools that get the funding still have to go by the state rules and regulations?
Sure. Well, they would opt in. I mean, even if you had choice, they could opt in or opt out. It doesn't make a private. So that's one of the old arguments. It doesn't make a private school, though, have to give up its independence. They just don't have to get involved in taking the money that moves with the student. I don't want to get bogged down in that issue. I just wanted to point out that the executive committee has been flexing its muscle with new party rules we have that we didn't used to have on censuring various officials when they just absolutely go astray. And that's an issue that's going to remain. I want to ask you another big issue. One of the problems that I've got with the state party the last many years is there is a move. There are rule after rule and push after push for things that consolidate power, like running elections, running primaries and things into the state party, when everybody that's ever done it knows they're often the least knowledgeable of it, instead of devolving power out to our county parties, which is how we're set up. What's your thoughts on issues like that? I mean, because I've been told over and over by current chairman that the state party appears to be trying to basically run the job of what county chairmen have done forever, particularly in running primaries.
Yeah, Robert, it's like any issue. The closer you get to the people, the closer you get, the more effective you are. You can't tell me Mason County has run effective elections and honest elections. I've been a precinct judge, an election judge, a clerk. And let me tell you something. Our county clerk, she will not put up with anything.
Good.
No. Leave it to these counties. They know what they're doing. They know their people. And now we do have issues when you get into the big counties like Harris County, mm-hmm. when, oh, goodness gracious, all the shenanigans that go on there. That's why I'm going to tout her. That's why we need Dana Myers as vice chair. That girl, she's got it. She's been the vice chair there in Harris County, and she knows what she's doing.
Well, it's good to see. My problem of having been on the elections committee and other things and written elections law is I would sit on these ad hoc committees with the Secretary of State, and all the big counties would be there, and they have staffs, you know, paid staff. I'm sorry, I'm a Republican chairman that actually ran elections, like all the ones I know, and it just always bothered me when the people in Austin, who are not even there very long, really, all of a sudden they want to tell everybody what to do. And I'm hearing a lot of complaint over that. So that's something to be looking for should you be elected. Real quickly, before we run out of time, folks, we're visiting with Joni Matthews. She's running at the Republican convention for all you delegates for committee woman for Senate District 28. How can people get in touch with you, Joni, if they want to find out more? How can these delegates get in touch with you?
You can go to my Facebook page on Joni for 28. That's on Facebook, Joni for 28, or you can call me. My phone is available to anybody, 281-222-0081.
Very good. Joni Matthews, SD28 committee woman. You delegates, you need to be paying attention to who you're going to vote for in convention. Thanks a lot, Joni.
Oh, thank you, Robert.
That's it for today. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.